Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for November the 12th. I'm Julia Slater. Money, 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 must be funny in the rich man's world. Money hasn't been far from the headlines. People with very little money, people with a lot of money, what the average person spends it on, and what the very rich could spend it on.
There are people who are seeking the rare and the beautiful and have the resources to match those desires.
We'll hear in a moment about something rare and beautiful they can compete for in Geneva very soon. Switzerland is always thought of, quite correctly, as a rich country. But even here, some struggle financially. There was a major conference on poverty in Bern on the 9th. It might come as a surprise to learn that about one person in 10 is reckoned to live below the poverty threshold, something that tends to marginalise them in society, as the Interior Minister Didier Burkhalter told the gathering. He called for fresh efforts to fight poverty more effectively. The Statistics Office has issued some figures about how the Swiss spend their money. Quite a healthy or unhealthy chunk goes on healthcare. Each resident spends an average of 7,589 francs a year on this. That's about $7,790. Incidentally, figures just released by the Health Office show that more and more people are seeking treatment for depression. The numbers are strikingly higher in the French-speaking part of the country than in the German and Italian-speaking areas. In another story on a similar subject, Burkhalter, whose job as Interior Minister includes health, has called for more doctors and other healthcare professionals to be trained in Switzerland rather than relying on foreign staff. The seemingly never-ending rise in health insurance premiums is a constant cause of concern among the Swiss. But spending on another essential has plummeted in the last 60 years, at least as a proportion of the household budget. The Statistics Office revealed on the 11th that food accounts for only about 7% of expenditure now, as against 35% during the Second World War. In 2008, each household spent on average 660 francs a month on food and non-alcoholic drinks, considerably less than they did on health, where each resident spent about 632 francs. Those who have money to spare, lots of money, might think about calling on the services of private banks. But in the face of new regulations aimed at stamping out cross-border tax evasion, the future for such banks doesn't look quite as rosy as it once did. However, a new study conducted jointly by tax consultants KPMG and St Gallen University has found that the banks are dragging their feet when it comes to changing their ways. I asked Swiss Info's business correspondent Matt Allen why they were holding back.
Well, this applies to two-thirds of banks that haven't yet started to implement these measures, and mainly the smaller banks. And they say they're going to do so, and they're really going to have to do so if they want to carry on cross-border banking. But what they're waiting to do, so these authors of the survey think, are they're waiting to see what happens with the big banks. The big banks have got the cash to implement these measures quickly, and if there are some mistakes and some problems along the way, then they can absorb the loss. So the smaller banks are just having a wait and see to see what happens and what the best strategy is by learning from the lessons of the big banks.
But basically their hands are tied.
Well, their hands are tied in respect that they're going to have to comply with the new regulations. Germany and Britain, for example, are busy negotiating new tax treaties with Switzerland, and a bank just can't afford not to comply with these rather cumbersome new rules.
What are the long-term implications for the Swiss banking landscape?
Well, of course, people are expecting there's going to be a decline in assets arriving in Switzerland from Europe and in the US. And so the banks are going to have to go out and find more money elsewhere. The bigger banks are well placed to do that. They can set up onshore operations in the Far East, for example, or Central America, where they're already present. The smaller banks might find themselves in a bit of bother, though, because it's a very expensive thing to have to do. And a lot of people are predicting that the smaller banks are going to have to start merging with the big ones if they're going to survive.
That was Swiss Info's Matt Allen. And now something else for the seriously rich, that rare and beautiful object we heard about at the beginning. Turn up at Sotheby's Auction House in Geneva on the 16th, and if you have steady nerves and a good $27 million to spare, you could end up the happy owner of a rare pink diamond. Here's David Bennett, head of Sotheby's Jewellery Division, describing why you might want to.
Pink diamonds of 24 carats are off the scale of rare. The fact that it's also potentially flawless after minor repolishing is also a thing that adds to its scarcity. And put together, the stone, I mean, it's just a sensational diamond. I mean, I think everybody who sees it either smiles or is affected by it in some way.
As for whether any of us are going to be well off in the future, there's been some good news from the UBS Bank. Their researchers have just issued a report saying they expect the Swiss economy to thrive in the next 2 years, despite the strong franc weighing on exports. Among the factors it cites are the free movement of people within the European Union, which makes it easier to recruit well-qualified staff, and the brisk population growth since 2007, which has fueled consumption and the demand for property. Foreign workers, including ones who cross the border every day to work in Switzerland, sent home an estimated $5 billion last year, according to a new World Bank study. The bank ranks Switzerland third in the world, behind the United States and Saudi Arabia, for the transfer of payments. Experts say it's very hard to measure this money flow, since a lot of it's informal, taken by friends and relatives. But there's general agreement that it helps lift people in developing countries out of poverty. You're listening to Swiss Info's weekly roundup of news and culture. And after so much money talk, it's time for some music. Der, wo Geld hat, He Who Has Money, played by the folk trio Echo von Rosberg. If you have money, you can buy shoes. If you don't, you go barefoot. I don't care if I have any or not. That's the message here. Who has money. And now for a couple of stories which caught my eye that haven't anything much to do with money, but quite a lot to do with the seamy side of life. Animal protection activists have launched a new campaign against the wearing of fur, a label featuring a sleeping fox cub for shops to stick on their window to say they don't sell genuine fur. The Fur Free Alliance has shifted its attention from luxury fur to the cheap fur used for things like collars and hats. Most of this comes from China, the Alliance says, where millions of animals are kept in appalling conditions and slaughtered barbarically, sometimes skinned while still alive. Red Faces in the central Swiss town of Einsiedeln, famous as a site of pilgrimage and for its huge monastery. As in so many small towns, they were struggling to find someone willing to stand for election as a substitute judge. So everyone was delighted when a businessman who runs a computer company stepped forward for the right-wing People's Party. Delighted, that is, until it emerged that in his spare time the gentleman performs in a porn rock band. And now it's time for our feature. If you're listening over a cup of tea or coffee, so much the better. This week, Robert Brooks has been deep into the Emmental Valley. Not on the farm, as you might think, but at the factory in the little village of Trubschachen, where they make some of Switzerland's finest biscuits.
You definitely need cows to make the milk that goes into making Emmental cheese and biscuits. 97% of Swiss know the brand name Cambly, where three generations of Oscars have been at the helm over the past 100 years. Oscar Cambly III, the current chairman, explains how it all started with a Brezzoli, a wafer-thin waffle biscuit.
My grandfather founded the Cambly Company in 1910. He happened to meet a girl from Trubschachen at his commercial school in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. They fell in love and he decided to come here to Trubschachen. He came here as a baker and he started to bake Brezzoli. That was a family recipe for his friends, for the village, and it was such a success in the region that he decided to start a business.
Do you feel a bit lost in Trubschachen? I mean, it's a small place, and after all, the Emmental is mainly farming country.
Yes, it is a wonderful farming country, pure air, pure water, lovely forests and meadows. And yes, it is 40 minutes from the next highway entry, but it is right in the middle of Switzerland.
And right in the heart of Switzerland, the local cows have a fine reputation.
It's a wonderful quality, the Emmental Valley milk products. You know, the cows, they are all day and maybe all night in summer in the nature. They are in harmony with nature, and their product is an expression of that quality of life.
The company doesn't produce just Brezeli these days. It has a wide range of biscuit products that are exported to more than 50 countries. You could now even find them at airports. Cambly told me about a key factor in the company's success story.
Cambly was always very innovative. My father, in the second generation, he had this wonderful idea to bring together, to marry the art of chocolatier together with the industrial production of biscuits of that time. So this synthesis created a new generation of products. So Cambly is a lifestyle, is as a vintage wine, is a piece of art, is pure indulgence, is ein Stück Lebensqualität, as we say in German. It is a piece of life quality.
From time to time, Cambly is asked if he'd sell his company, but he just smiles at that suggestion.
We get every now and then offers from all over the world. I keep telling them, keep your dollars, I keep my passion.
Oscar Cambly III, chairman of the Cambly Biscuit Company in Trubschachen, which is this year celebrating its 100th anniversary.
Robert Brooks was reporting there from Trubschachen. And his report wraps up the programme for this week. You can find more news from Switzerland on www.swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week. I'm Julia Slater. After those biscuits, we'll go out on Tea for Two, as interpreted by the Lucerne Bürger Brass Band.